God is a God who provides abundantly. May you do so today, and we turn for our scripture reading to see how he provides. We turn to Exodus 16, and we read the entire chapter. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even when ye shall know that the Lord hath, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, on the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to his number, to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day, for to gather. They found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord, to be kept for your generations. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. Children, young people, have you heard about the term entitlement? What is entitlement? Entitlement is the fact that one has a right to something. So it should be based on facts. But often we base these things on our feelings. We feel we have a right to have a paycheck, be treated fairly. We feel we have a need for our next vacation, for our next purchase. We feel we need something. Otherwise we feel it's not going well with us. We Westerners living in the first world country have strong feelings of entitlement. We have strong feelings about what we think we really need. And some of it is based on facts, but not all of it. By nature, and even after grace, we can really have these wrong visions of, and we can mix up that idea of wants versus needs. And people do sometimes have that, I want, and we say, I need that next gadget. Children, I want that bike or that snack. And sometimes the snack you need, right? But there's all kinds of other things that we want, which are not necessarily needs, are they? And as adults, we have them too. We have wants. And we confuse them with needs. When we hurry to the internet and we feel we have need of something. Really, do we? Do we? How often, when we want something, do we quietly pray something along the lines in our hearts, give us this day a daily bread? We are going to consider this petition together as we consider also that the Lord provides in amazing ways to the people in the wilderness who had a sense of entitlement and were confused some of this, what we are talking about. Let's continue to our study in the Heidelberg Catechism as we come to Lord's Day 50, Lord's Day 50, page 86 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Let's read that together. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So this brings us to our theme, heavenly bread. First of all, the provision, daily provision, then daily precepts, some lessons that we hope to learn from what's happening here, and then daily pointers. How does that point us to a greater and more beautiful reality? And our need for the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about a moment of this contrast. Israel, the Israelites had left Egypt. They had been enjoying themselves, refreshing themselves with the bounty of Elim. Now, Elim was one of those spots that was one of those little oases that you want to stay as long as possible. It's beautiful oasis. It was a beautiful one because it had 12 water springs and 10 palm trees. So there was shade and there was cooling refreshment. And now the Lord came and he spoke and his cloudy pillar led his people on. And no one really wants to leave such a beautiful place. To go into a desert which is hot and humid and difficult, without palm trees, without regular provision. Who wants to exchange a place where you are protected, not protected from the heat? You want to stay in that place with those palm trees and restfully drink and take long sips from that cool water? Is there anyone who can't understand these Israelites here? But God knew that if they would stay, it would not be good for them. God knows what is best for his people. He knew that they needed some testing. Verse 4 in our chapter says that God is going to provide for them. And then it says that why he is providing for them, even through this whole provision and the way of providing, he was going to test them whether they would walk in his law or not. So as they arrive then in this wilderness, which was called sin, not because of sin or disobedience against God, although that happened in that wilderness there, but probably because it was close to Sinai, where the word sin is also there. They are getting ready, children. They are running out of their food, and so their bellies begin to grumble. And when our bellies grumble, children, sometimes, right? What happens? Our mouths grumble as well. So verse 2 tells us that the whole congregation of the children of Israel were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. This is what they were saying. Verse 3, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. When it is repeated in Numbers 11, verse 5, they say, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Have you ever heard that in our house and in our heart? The Lord led them to this place. But they didn't like it. And when you and I don't like something, it doesn't go our way, then what's in our hearts, what was already there, comes out of our mouths. And it's often based on this sense of I want entitlement. I have a right to have food the way I want it. Cucumbers, melons, and leeks, and onions, and garlic is much better. And then grumbling heart. Beloved, are we much different? Be honest. You and I, are we much different? When we start to think back of what we once had, things were so much better. Now these Israelites were saying those days in Egypt were much better, and they forgot about those times when really in Egypt they were not close to the Lord. It was not spiritually beneficial to them. Really, Pharaoh was a cruel taskmaster. They forgot about it. And that's when we are listening to our feelings and our desires, we are often very selective as to what we remember and what we put our minds on. We dwell on those things that are important to us right now, and we listen. And as they are grumbling and as they are thinking and dwelling on those things they had in their past, they are addressing their complaints and put them in the wrong address, to the wrong address. They complain to Moses and Aaron, their leaders. It didn't bring them on their knees, humbly asking, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So ask the question again. Don't we see how often we are not much different than these people here? Don't we all have a desperate tendency to do exactly the same? Maybe the outward circumstances might be a little different, but honestly, what about our hearts? That's the issue, right? Our hearts. We like those fish and leeks and onions and garlic. We don't like too much to be much dependent, do we? We don't like to be humbly begging on our knees, bringing the needs before the Lord, do we? We don't like the wilderness. And being tested is difficult. Who of us likes that? Last week we heard something about Thy will be done. What did it say in Lord's Day 49? Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey Thy will. Without murmuring. Instead of grumble, we are called by the Lord to be humble. Instead of that, God calls us to pray, for He has actually promised to keep and protect and provide all the way. Today we focus on this petition, give us this day our daily bread. And when the Lord Jesus teaches this to His children, there's only one important lesson that we need to learn. Wherever we are, whatever happens to us, we need to learn to trust God no matter what, no matter circumstances, no matter our likes. Catechism says it like this, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it on alone in Thee. Only in God. Our trust needs to be in God. Is it today? Can I honestly say, my trust is in the Lord, in His provision? Too easily we make this mistake of these Israelites, and then we go to our Moseses and Aarons, and we begin to complain. But the Lord shows us this morning and puts a prayer into our mouths in moments like these. Because He knows our hearts. He knows it. He knows that we often need to pray, Lord, forgive me for this and that sin. And He shows us in this history His kindness, His patience, His goodness, His mighty hand. He wants us to pray that we would see it. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Unless we want to be unhappy like these Israelites all the way through the wilderness. Unless we want to cling to what we want, rather than to our Heavenly Father who knows our need even before we ask and pray. Children, God knows your need specifically. Young people, God knows your need even before you pray for it. All of us, God knows our need. And this story then warns us that unless we are those who are the children of disobedience, we want the wrath of God to come upon us constantly, and we only belong outwardly to God's people, and we don't have that thankfulness and that changed heart, unless we are outwardly just brought out of the bondage of Egypt, that the Lord was not pleased actually with many of these who grumbled. Many fell in the wilderness. And that is still today. The Spirit of God needs us to teach us to pray desperately. Give us this day our daily bread so that we come and learn that beautiful contentment and that beautiful thankfulness and that beautiful trust that God will provide for us no matter what. God was going to provide for His people in our chapter. It says in verse 10 and 12 that He comes. And how does He come? Did you notice that? The glory of the Lord came. His might, His power, just who He is with all His beauty. He came and approached the people. And He shows His glory to Moses, His servant, and He speaks to him. And He says, basically, I'm going to profound. I've heard it. I've heard what you did. I've heard it. And I'm going to provide in such a way that you know I am the Lord your God. That's what God does. When He does mighty things in our lives, He does it because He wants to be known as the Lord our God. And acknowledged as such. So He comes and if you want a picture of God being merciful and God being gracious, it's right here in our text. He doesn't come to Him and to the people and says, I wipe you out because you're grumbling. He doesn't give them what they really want. They want to go back to Egypt with all the garlics and the onions and the fish and the melons. He doesn't give that to them either. Wouldn't be good for them. He doesn't do exactly what they expected of Him. Or really, were they expecting anything of the Lord? Were they? Were they really praying? What He does shows that God is good for a bad people. What He does is shows that God is merciful and patient and endures a lot even when a people is in need. What He does shows that the Lord is gracious even when they are very ungracious to Aaron and Moses. Beloved congregation, maybe last week I have been ungracious toward our government to a certain extent. I want to say that to you. I should have had a more tender voice and more loving voice at that moment. The Lord provides in abundance to a people who don't deserve abundance. And He provides. How does He provide? Verse 4, He behold, look, pay attention, I will rain bread from heaven. Now this was amazing. Supernatural. Psalm 78 calls it angel's food. 78 says it like this. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, and man did eat angel's food. He sent them meat to the full. Meat to the full. Angel's food. Corn of heaven. And He sends them more, children. He gives them quail. These little birds. They came and they just swooped down, and the Lord gave them plenty. He did it probably only twice. God provided bread and meat. That is a God, the God we serve, a God who is gracious to grumblers, who daily provides for our needs, who daily provides for your and my needs. He provides even from heaven. Food fell almost in their laps. There are many people who try to explain this manna thing. Something natural happened. It was this or that. But no, beloved, this is God's mighty hand. This is supernatural. God promised and it appeared. It's manna. It's called, literally, it's what is it? They didn't know what it was. Because it was a miracle. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Numbers 11 says that it was like bdellium, which is pearls, like pearls, white. And the taste of it was like baked with fresh oil, it says there. God provides something to eat, daily bread. And so when they rise up early in the morning, they see this. All around their tents. And when the sun would come up, it would melt. They are eating something, gift of God. Angels' food, bread from heaven. God is gracious toward grumblers. He gives also us every day our daily bread. Even when we grumble, He still gives it. Our bread doesn't come necessarily from heaven. It comes out of the ground. But still, it's the same God who provides. And how does He provide? This was an enormous crowd. There were so many people there in that wilderness. 40 years long, day in, day out, until the last moment when they entered into Canaan. He provides every day, except on the Lord's day. And so God has been providing for us day in, day out, just like this. A little different. And the beautiful thing is that when they took this bread, verse 18 tells us that he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. God is so graciously providing a plate of food after another plate of food. And He does it well. But how we are those who need to learn to pray, truly, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord tested His people. He was actually teaching them to listen to His voice, to obey His precepts. If our eyes are open, these are lessons that we are to learn in our lives as well. Every day, there are lessons to learn. When we receive food, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. What are these lessons? Secondly, daily precepts. Four lessons here. The first one, we don't need to hoard. Absolutely not. You would gather much, nothing over. You gather little, and nothing, no lack. Teaches us that we don't need to hoard. Call to trust Him daily. He will provide daily. However, just like now, so also then, there were some who didn't trust, and they began to hoard. Moses said, by God's commandment, by God's word, don't leave it for the next day. Just eat it all that same day. But some thought, well, no, I know better. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left, and what happened? It bred worms and stank. We don't need to hoard. God is going to provide. How did the catechism show us? What does it show us? That He, so that every may, when so that everyone, that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. So we can do whatever we want. But we can hoard, we can gather, we can work hard, but without God's blessing, it won't profit us at all. Give us this day our daily bread, teaches us contentment, thankfulness, not greed. And when we learn to pray this humbly, not with constantly looking for ourselves, when we resist this temptation to provide for ourselves, then we can enjoy the gifts of the Lord with joy and with thankfulness. The second lesson here is, do honor me on my Sabbaths. There were these special Sabbaths. Sabbath, normal Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, and special Sabbath. And God gave also precepts for these to the people. They had to gather children twice as much as they needed so they could focus their attention on worshiping the Lord. Focus on His goodness, His mercy, His provision, His care over them this past week. That's what we do also this week. We look back and we remember and we say, Lord, we thank Thee. And interestingly, that day on Sabbath, this food would not deteriorate, would not stink, there would not be no worms in there. There would be also no manna around that camp on the Sabbath day. God knows that you and I need our rest, and He provides for that as well. Everything for body, rest is one of them. He provides for body and soul, especially on the Lord's Day. He provides for us. He knows that when we just go on and on and on, it will destroy us. God tenderly cares for us, for our body, with the Sabbath. And He wants us to work hard the other 6 days and rest the seventh. Or in our case, New Testament is the first day. His instructions were very clear. Rest on the Sabbath day, bake what you need to bake, seize what you need to seize, everything that remains, lay it up, put it aside, it's for tomorrow. And what happened, children? Did they obey it? They didn't. They went out together. Didn't find anything. God knows that when we violate taking rest for our bodies and really taking a Sabbath, He knows that we need it, and He shows us that when we don't, we ultimately will come up empty, with nothing. We come with nothing home. And God says, this is good for you. And that brings us to this next lesson, this very important lesson. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Because that's what happened here. God spoke and he provided. Because he spoke, there was this food. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 reflects on this history and says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." That's the biggest lesson here. That we would learn to live by God's word. His word controlled everything. The manna, the quail. When he spoke, it happened. What happened on the Sundays, what happened when they had to gather twice, on his word, things didn't rot. Everything was by his word, because he spoke. That's what you see all over. Everything was controlled in the lives of the Israelites. And so everything is controlled in your and my life, every day, even our food, the very food we taste and eat. And our response to how God provides for us matters. The response to his word providing for us, how we respond to that matters. God wants us to trust him more than anything else. Him, not our own. Not our own wisdom, not our own way of providing. Well, I'm working hard for it. Not our cleverness. Not even other people. No. Catechism says it very clearly. Trust me alone. Live by my word. I will provide. We are to do our duty. To do what we need to do. To work. Humbly. Dependently. We are to obey his commandments. And the outcome of all that is his. It's not our duty. Circumstances, his. God is in control. But what about wilderness time? Do you feel these days a little bit in the wilderness, and especially when the church can't open up yet? Wilderness time. Jobs, finances, businesses, health situation, COVID, vaccine or no vaccine, everything under his gracious control. Or are we just busy still with how we need to provide for ourselves and fretting? Can I have that next vacation? It's easy to long back for past situations with the Israelites today, don't you think? But God says, live by my word, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And pray when you need them. Pray. Live by my word. Put your priorities straight. Me first. God can say that. Children, don't you say that sometimes? Me first. God says to you today, me first. To me, he says it too. Me first. But it's difficult. In hardships. But his word, beloved, is so much more trustworthy. He knows so much better what we need than we do. And when we see him providing, there's so much reason for joy and thankfulness and contentment. He cares for us. And that's the fourth lesson here. Let us never forget God's gracious care. Let us not forget what he's done. When we've received all these things, let us not forget. And that's what brings us to our text here, verse 33. "And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put on an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." Children, why did God want a pot of manna there? to be set in the holy place in His presence? Why? It was for you, children. For the next generation. So that the next generation, Psalm 78 says, would set their hopes in God. May this wilderness time be the same to us. That you, children, would say, I will trust in the Lord. I will hope in Him. We can provide for ourselves. He provides for us. So that from generation we would to generation we would remember that despite our terribly sinful and selfish and grumbling hearts that and discontent hearts at times, that God is willing and able to provide abundantly for us when we need it. He can do so. He will do so. So that Heidelberg Catechism puts it like this, that we know God is the only fountain of every good, of all good things. He provides for us, beloved, food, health, strength, daily reminder. Don't live by bread alone, but by my word. Don't live by what you think you can provide, but depend on me. Pray, give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day my daily work. Help me to do it. Despite my sins, Lord, despite my grumbling, humble me, Lord. It's a daily reminder. When God provides for us, to look for a better kind of bread. Not just that we would follow Jesus through the wilderness of this life for the gifts, but that we would look for that ultimate gift, who is also the giver. Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Because that's what this story is pointing toward. It's loudly saying, look away from people, from sinners, from grumblers, from discontent people who struggle to keep their hearts. Look to Jesus Christ. And that's what we hope to do after we sing. Why that pot of manna there in God's holy presence before Him? Not just to teach us a lesson about for our children, for the next generation. But there's more. There's more to teach us. There's deeper truth to discover here with this pot of manna. Especially when we find that deeper truth when we compare Scripture with Scripture. Our text says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now the testimony here is the Ark of the Covenant. The testimony was in there. That's the law. It refers to the law. But when it refers to the law, it refers to the whole thing. To the whole, this just, the testimony stands as a part for the whole ark. So that's where it was before. Now let's turn to Hebrews 9 verse 4 for a moment. Listen to this. It again speaks about the pot of manna, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna. Wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. First of all, it's not just a golden pot, a normal pot. It was a golden pot, a very precious jar. But then that place, it's in the Ark of the Covenant, according to Hebrews 9, verse 4. That means that over time, probably they just put it in there. As they traveled on, they put it in there, and maybe it stayed in there. Now, what does that have to teach us? How is that a pointer? What was the ark all about? The ark was God's footstool. He rested his foot. His glorious presence, his cloud was hanging over that place. And the ark was just his footstool. It's a heavenly throne room. What was there? Three things, Hebrews tells us. There was this law of God. Teaches us how to live, the word of God. There was this staff. Teaches us that here on earth we are to submit to authority. There was this pot of manna that shows us that God provides. Those three things. God provides all the needs of his people. It's part of the fact that he rests his footstool. It rests his feet, his holy feet. Humanly speaking about God, of course, upon this ark of the covenant. How does he care? Well, because there is this lid of atonement. Otherwise, he would not be able to care. Otherwise, the wrath of God would have to come down and consume the people because of their unthankful, grumbling hearts. But no, there is the mercy seat, beloved. There's the mercy seat. There's the place where the priest would come in and bring blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. That's why there is provision. That's why there is provision for us. Why can we enjoy God's good gifts like food and considerable health and life and abundant provision? Only because there's blood that made it possible. Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross. Only because God gives us what we need as part of his gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. When you and I belong to Jesus Christ by faith, and God has promised to provide from A to Z, out of Egypt into heavenly Canaan. And we may freely enjoy those gifts with thankful hearts. And we may say, therefore, give me, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, this day my daily bread. For Jesus' sake. Sustain me. Provide for me. Care for my body. Uphold it. Why? Because Jesus earned it. Jesus earned it. When Satan came to him in the wilderness and said, make of these stones bread. Because I know you're hungry. What did Christ do? He didn't grumble. No, his heart was spotless. He endured the temptation. That you and I so often don't endure. And instead of wanting his way, what did he do? He said, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, quoted in Luke 4 verse 4 says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He's quoting the scriptures. This very scripture. That speaks about the grumbling, the discontent heart of sinners. This, beloved, is why you and I can be saved. Because there's blood, and because there's resistance against this temptation spotlessly of Jesus Christ. This is why you and I are being provided for. When we look with the eyes of faith in the new covenant of Jesus Christ, he covers our sins with his blood, and he promises us to remember them no more. And he promises us to write upon our hearts that law that we have trespassed against. And he tells us, come now to my mercy seat. That same place. Come. Come with all you need. Plead my covenant mercies in Jesus Christ. I will provide. I will hear. Because of a high priest who cannot be touched, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with, in all points, was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And therefore it says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That pot of manna was there before that throne of grace, before the mercy seat, to show, I will provide your every need, and it is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. He earned it. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? Oh, for more thankful hearts, that we would never forget this. But that's not the only way in which this pot of manna points us to Christ. There's more. It was Christ who multiplied several times the bread and the fish. He cared for people physically. Again and again. And then in John 6 we know they wanted more. They wanted signs. They wanted just the gifts, not necessarily interested in the giver. But then Jesus reminds them, God is pleased when you begin to trust the giver more than all his gifts, his food, his drink, your house, your money, your job. All those are just gifts. But how much more should we enjoy the giver? And Jesus points us the way to, how do we enjoy them? By believing on him, trusting him, eating the bread of heaven, manna come down from heaven. Eating, that means believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in me. I am able to give you eternal life. Beloved, every time you and I have a food filled with a plate filled with food before us, let it be a pointer to the bread of heaven, the heavenly manna, Jesus Christ. Our daily bread calls us to trust in him, that we would desire him more when we taste of his goodness and his provision. Because Jesus Christ, beloved, is that heavenly bread. He's celestial, we can say. That means he comes from heaven. He came down at Christmas. And God gave him as that most satisfying gift of all. He came down quietly. And he provides for millions of people in the wilderness. He's the food, the spiritual food. He was born spotless. Virgin birth, not like us with sinful natures. That's what this manna, this white manna, was white like pearls, points to. He was on earth spotless. We just reminded ourselves how he resisted that temptation that we don't resist often. We have often given in, have we not? He never grumbled. He never complained. He's pure. He's spotless. He's white. And therefore He can satisfy our soul. He's our righteousness, our good deeds. And just like this manna was plenty for all the people, 40 years, day in, day out, Jesus is more than sufficient for anyone here today listening. Jesus is everything you and I truly need. Sufficient even for grumblers. He said Himself in John 6, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. So when we have eaten by faith, yes, we will hunger for more, but ultimately it is sufficient. It is going to be overflowing into eternal life. He is sufficient. Or do we think we need our gifts alongside Jesus, the gift that He gave alongside Jesus, and we really want them rather than receive them with an open hand? Jesus is like this manna, strengthening. He kept the Israelites going for these 40 years. Every plate of food is strengthening to our bodies and reminds us of that strengthening that Jesus does when we eat the Word of God, when it's sweet to our taste, when we look up with thankfulness to Him who is the bread of life given to us to satisfy our souls. When the Holy Spirit teaches us to eat Jesus Christ, to believe on Him daily. That's what we need. Then we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will become stronger and stronger to resist those temptations that so naturally, so easily come to us. And He's strengthening. He, just like the Israelites, went all the way to the promised land. So He will bring His people all the way to the land that flows from milk and honey. Beloved, has Jesus become sweet to our taste? Because just like the manna was sweet, it tasted like honey. It tasted something freshly baked. God gave something good. So when we believe on Him, Jesus Christ, He becomes sweet to us. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious, is good. When Peter reminds us, he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, he says. Have you tasted that? Have you tasted from Jesus Christ that He is sweet to our souls? Then He becomes precious. To you who believe, He's precious. When you see His person, His work, and how it all helps us daily and covers all our sins, then He becomes daily food to your and my soul. Oh, dear congregation, let us believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and eat Him by faith. You can never have too much of Jesus Christ. It will never corrupt like that earthly bread, that earthly manna. Let your soul be satisfied this morning in Him alone. And let every meal that we eat be a reason to thank Jesus Christ who earned it. Covenant mercies through His blood. Christ satisfies. He's all we need. But let me come back for a moment to that word of entitlement. Because maybe you have thought in the beginning, oh, Is entitlement all bad? Beloved, your and my rights depend all on our real title. If you're here today, or if you're listening today, without the faintest hope in Jesus Christ, more like the Israelites hoarding for yourself, and no trust, and the only thing, I say it with pain in my heart, is that you're entitled to hell. That's the entitlement. But Jesus Christ comes to you today and says, I am sweet, I can satisfy, I'm more than enough. Trust me. Come, eat. I know your need. Look at how I provided, the way I lived, the way I died. I provided. And if you are here today listening as a poor sinner with little faith, it doesn't matter how weak your faith is today. It doesn't really matter. It's the food that you eat that strengthens you. It's Christ that strengthens you. So let your faith rest on Jesus Christ and it's strong. All the riches belong to Him. All the righteousness belongs to Him. And He freely gives it. Everything belongs to Him. And He vowed to care for you where however weak your faith is. He vowed to care for you all the way. Body and soul. And so He will do. He promises. And if you say, He's my Lord, I'm following Him. Yes, you're entitled to follow Him then. If you say, He's my Lord, you're entitled to follow Him. He will take you through the wilderness. He will ask you to bear your cross behind Him. But you can do so because He has entitled you to the heavenly Canaan. That land flowing from milk and honey. You're entitled to that only because of Christ. Follow Him. And if you have tasted, beloved, I hope we have all tasted how gracious Jesus Christ is. We see it. His love. When His love becomes sweet to us, then your title is actually that you are beloved to Him. That He loves you. And you are entitled to all of His riches. When someone marries, you marry and you share everything. So it is with Christ. You share everything. You're entitled to everything that Christ gives. Oh, let us just eat to the full, not just a little bit today. Don't live under our privileges. We're entitled to everything Jesus gives. Oh, that if your title is still a child of hell, that you would see this morning for the first time that Jesus gives away titles that you can still become a child of heaven. And that one day, like that pot of manna, you will stand before the Lord forever like a golden pot, shining, precious to the Lord, filled to the brim in His glorious presence. Amen.